Here today's daf is Lamed Ches. We're holding at the bottom of Lamed Zayin on the base. All right, we've been osek in some of the issues about the what defines really the nature of bread. We just began. What got us started was kugel or chavitza. Depending on how we understand this, it was machlokas Rashi and Tosfos as to whether we're talking about bread that's been boiled or we're talking about bread that's been stuck together with milk or with some type of oily honey or whatever. I mean, there's pudding, like a pudding. Okay, so there, yesterday we had spoken about the question of whether the lechem has the tsura of pot. Wasn't clear what that meant. Could mean that it was recognizably bread. It could mean that there's some kind of technical definition of what a tsura of pot is. And indeed, those who hold that boiling is always going to be mavato, the shame of pot, unless there's a desire, hold that by definition something boiled is no longer considered to be lechem. It loses shame of lechem entirely. We'll see these things are on the Gel Halacha, which we've decided we're going to spend a little bit of time after the issue today to do a brief halachic review on this issue. So we got up to the last things that we read were Amar Rav of Hudika Aleha Turita Dinahama. Turita Dinahama means Tzura of Pat. It has the shape of bread or the halachic Tzura of Pat. Truknin Chayavin Bechala. Bechiyata Ravin Amar of Yochanan Truknin, the correct girsa according to most is also Chayavin Bechala. Not that there's a machlokas here. And what exactly is this Truknin? Amar Abaya Kuva Da'ara. It's a type of bread which is made in a little indentation on the bottom of the kira. The kira is the what we would call a stovetop. And you basically mix a light mixture of pancake type mixtures, and it sits in the hole at the bottom of the. It's like sometimes you see they have these built-in griddles, so it's that type of thing. Except it's not griddled; it actually just sits there without oil and bakes, even though the top of it is open. In order to understand the tzura, the issues that are coming up, we need to recognize that the Mishnah in Masechet Challah introduces the concept of the chiyuv of challah, which has a lot to do with the nature of bread, by saying that you need to take into consideration two things. One is the fact that the Torah talks about arisotechem, reshit arisotechem. Arisotechem means, by definition, you need to have a dough, not a mixture. Now, there's a big difference between the two, because obviously when you make pancakes, you don't have a dough, really. You simply have a mixture. It's a batter. It's not an arisa at all. It never gets solid. You can't throw it to somebody. So the other issue is, it says at the end of that process, there's something that's called lechem in terms of how it is that you eat it. Therefore, says the Mishnah in Challah that if you have tchila is sufganim and sofa is sufganim. Now, sufganim, of course, we use it in modern Hebrew for donut. But the idea of sufganim is actually the same lashon as sfog. It means that what you have is a way of baking something or cooking something or boiling something, which turns out to be like a sfog, like a sponge. It's light, full of holes. And that leads us to two questions. In other words, you can make a batter, and a batter is always going to be light because you need to pound something out and make it thick in order for it to turn out to be a crack. So, on the one hand, you have tchilato suvganim, which is where you have a batter, but it also has to be sofo suvganim. Sofo suvganim means that it is prepared in a type, in a fashion, that leads it to remain batter. So, in other words, if you're going to fry it on a griddle, or you're going to boil it, like you do with a donut, technically, you're going to boil it in deep oil. When we talk about boiling, it doesn't matter whether you boil in water or you boil in oil. Both of those are called boiling. Tigun, by definition, is on a batter with a little bit of oil in it. This makes big mouth can mean on the halacha, because we know what the din is about bishul, whether it's mayim or shemen. That's not considered to be the surah of preparing pot, that's called sufganim. But we are not sure, because there's major machlokas in among the Rishonim, about tigun, what we call tigun, like, you know, French toast kind of thing, with a little bit of oil on the bottom. But let's talk now about the sofa sufganim. So sofa sufganim would mean it's going to be boiled or deep fried. Now that kind of thing, the Mishnah says, if it's on both ends, it's neither arisotechem nor it's lechem is potter from challah. Most assume, at least here on the daf, although there are many Rishonim who argue, that if you have either one, it doesn't matter what your intent was, but if you have either one, in point of fact, then you're going to have lechem. And what you have over here with this, what we've started off here with the truknin, that we're saying is chayav b'challav, even though the truknin is a batter, and actually the batter is prepared on the kira itself, it's a very loose batter. You pour the water on the stove top, mix it with the kemach, and it sits there, and it bakes. The thing is that it's baked. And since it's baked, it's not sofa sufganim, but rather it creates a hardened pots type of thing, and therefore it's considered to be milechem ha'aretz, and so the truknin would be chayav b'challav. The Omer Abaye, Tarita, on the other hand, is Petura b'machala. So what's Tarita? Now that's a machorka. Some say that Tarita is Gadu Martach, which is basically the same idea, except that it's poured out, made as a batter in a container, like we would make pancakes, and it's poured out on top of the kira. It doesn't sit in an indentation, so it's essentially, it's like you cook it on a griddle. It spreads out, and it's a pancake. So the question over here is you have Suvganim b'tchila, and you have Suvganim shebisot. In other words, it's not cooked the way bread is cooked, and therefore this Tarita would be potter min achal. Ikari amri, and here's where we get into a problem, is these ikari amri. Some say that the meaning of the Tarita is not that it's jabu martach, but rather that it's nahama the hindika. The nahama the hindika actually is a dough, and what you do with this dough is that you put it on a shpud. It's actually, it's like a, what do they call those things? They say, when they cut the lamb, you know, what do they call them? Shish kebab. So it's like a shish kebab. It's dough, and as it turns, you put oils on it and flavorings on it. And it's
a spit.
Yeah, it's a spit, but it's dough on a spit.
It's very thick.
That's the question over here, is since it's thick, mitchila, who cares about the fact that now it's being cooked on a spit, since the Mishnah says either way it's considered to be a chiyuv of challah. And if it's considered to be a chiyuv of challah, we're assuming that it would also satisfy the requirements of being lechem. So we'll talk about this in a moment, because there's yet another ikari amri. So some say that it's nahama de hindika, and some say it's lechem ha'asui lekutach. This is bread. Rashi says the issue over here is that if it's going to be made for kutach, kutach was the dip that they used to use that had a lot of bread mixed in it. It was a sour milk and cheese dip. And this is not baked. It's rather left outside in the sun in order to cook. But again, lechora, it's thick dough. And if it's thick dough, then it ought to be chayev because of the initial dough. So here we have a very fascinating machlokas, and that the Rosh and some of the Shonim, who are very much nogei l'halacha, they say that the Mishnah only means that if your intent initially, tchilato lechem, doesn't just mean it was made lechem betchila. It means it was made lechem betchila with the intent to be lechem besof. So that when I made this dough, I was going to bake. If in the end it turns out that somebody uses it, or I change my mind and I use it to make bagels instead, it's still bread. Because I can't be mevatel the din of lechem on the dough simply because I boiled it. But the Mishnah is never saying, says the Rosh, that if your intent originally was to make bagels out of it, that it's enough that it's considered to be bread in that I made a thick dough originally. Since my intent was never to use it as bread. And bread is defined as something that would be baked. So in other words, both ends are necessary. The only point is that the original creation of the Isa, at that point you're chayav b'challah. And it doesn't lose the chayav b'challah by afterwards changing how you're going to bake it. That's all that it is. So therefore, according to him, since over here the original intent is not to have it as bread, because I'm not going to bake it, I'm going to leave it in the sun. Or I'm going to be putting it on a spit. That's not the way in which a person generally prepares bread. Therefore, even though it was, by the way, the word for sufganim and not sufganim in terms of halacha is blilatan ava or blilatan raka. So even though blilatan ava, the mixture of the dough was thick, but nonetheless, there never was an intent to make this as bread. Therefore, the truknin are potter min hachala. So says the Rosh, and again, there are many Rishonim who agree with it. A little bit later in the sugya, into what the bracha is. Although we need to recognize that when it comes to bracha, there's three different dinim apply to things that are made out of the Chamesh Taminim. We have a concept of lechem. We have a concept of pot. Pot is not lechem. You could have pot that's also lechem. You could have pot that's baba kisnim, for instance. So it's made in order to put things in it, or it's not a surah of lechem, and so on. But there, if you would be koveya suda on it, it would be chayim in Birkat HaMotzi, and it would be chayim in Birkat HaMazon, and so on. We'll see, there's a lot of, there's a major sugya what it precisely defines pot of baba kisnim. Not everybody agrees that pita would be pot of baba kisnim, but that type of thing. cake, and so on. And then we have things which are simply maisa kedera, which even if your koveya stood on it, is not called pot. And since it's not called pot, it doesn't matter how much of it you eat, you're never going to be chayav to say birkat hamazon on something which is not a type of pot. Now, it may well be made, you know, have a nice cereal and an oatmeal and so on, and will be made out of hameshet haminim, but it's not pot. So there you can have, we'll talk about the pasta issue. These are very complex things, because we haven't even begun really discussing kimat. What we've spoken about so far is only the thickness of the dough, the mode of preparation. We've spoken a little bit about a concept called tzura of pot, which we saw might have to do with just the way it's recognizably bread, but that's where it was originally bread. And we're about to get in many, many other factors. Here the Rosh has introduced a factor of intent to eat as bread as part of the definition of bread, at least vis-a-vis the idea of challah. It's going to take us a while to put together all of the various issues and to see how they interact with each other. Because you might have something under one circumstance is bread and under another is just pot. Some things which maybe lose the tzura even of pot. Okay, so let's keep our minds open meanwhile. The question is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who holds that it really doesn't matter what it was that your intent was. He learns the Mishnah in Challah to be defining the state, not the intent. So if the tchila was blilatan ava, in other words, leka, and not sufganim, and the end is sufganim in the sense of how it's prepared, it's boiled, that shouldn't make any difference, and therefore he has to struggle with what, according to these two lashonos in the Ikari Amri, if it's nahama de hindika, or if it's lechem asrila kutach. In both of those cases, the dough is thick, and at the moment I made a thick dough, I'm already chayav and challah. Yet Rabbeinu Tam rejects the Rosh's approach, and many struggle with it. So what lamaisa does he hold is the p'tur in our Gemara. The Marshal says, look, apparently he must hold that lechem asir lekutach is originally blilatan rakah, and that it's poured out, which is not going to answer, what about the Nahamad Hindika? You obviously can't have something of a spit that drips. And so what exactly is the issue over there? Why does he hold that it would be putter from challah? The Rabbeinu Tam Shita remains a little bit cloudy here. So, but we'll see as we go along. Maybe we can get to the bottom of it. Tony Rebbe Chia, lechem asir lekutach, putter min achala. So Rebbe Chia brings a brisa that says it's putter min achala, and yet, Tanya, chayav b'challah. Over there, it explains itself. When is it chayav and challah? And here we're introducing yet another concept of it, surah d'nahama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ma'aseh mochichin aleha. Actually, the way in which you form the dough is the indication as to the usage. Asa'an ki'avin chayavin, ki'lemudim piturim. Rashi learns the ki'avin means that it has a tzura of like a little lachmaniya on it, but the type that they sell on Thursdays, not the type that they sell every day. Meaning that it's not just a block of bread, but rather it's a formed block. You put some design on the top and so on. You'd never put a design in it if the intent was simply to grind it up and put it into kutach. So the very fact that it was made as lechem is an indication that you are talking about something that is chayim and challah. Mashenken, if you make it limudim, limudim means that it's just a board. So that basically you're manufacturing bread, which is there to grind up now and to put into the kutach, and therefore would be pot. Now, if you learn that the intent is meaningless, who cares? In other words, we saw that we have a machlokas rishonim as to whether intent is important in the original formation of the lechem. If you don't hold, I mean, here ma'aseh mochichin aleha shouldn't change. What do I care what it's shaped like? I mean, the bottom line is it's bread, whether it's got a fancy top or doesn't have a fancy top. Some learn that the issue over here is exer de rabbonim. In other words, since there's no way really externally what are we going to say that this thing, according to the Rosh, the nafkamina, if the intent ultimately is, and the old intent is significant, the intent ultimately is to put it into kutach. So then what's the difference what it looks like? Only that it's possible people will get confused. There's the fact that I have a little bakery going in which all of my bread goes processed the same way. And my intent over here is anyway to break it up and put it into the kutach at the end and to bake it that way and so on. So that should be enough to potter it from challah, except for the fact that the buyer doesn't know when it's coming out at the other end. And if somebody gets confused and says, hey, he didn't make hamotzi on that. And I don't have to either, which is not true, because intent is not measurable in a thing. So therefore they made a gezeira to make the intent measurable, so to speak. So if it looks like bread, so the assumption is that the intent was that it was bread, even though you, the baker, is saying, look, I'm telling you, it just came out that way. That's not important, because who's going to know? So according to the Rosh, in Achinami, this whole thing is really a gezeira. And there's no chiyav miniyaraisa here on challah, for sure, according to him. Because there never was an intent to prepare it and bake it as bread. In the end, I'm leaving it out in the sun, and it's going to sunbake. Correct? And that was my intent all along, was to sunbake. The question is, it's not clear what Rashi Shito is over here. He's talking about a diraisa, that there's some kind of idea of a tzura of lechem, in which maybe it's even the same thickness, the limudim. Because Rashi and Mishlim are those who hold it's a different thickness. And a limudim is more of a cracker type of thing, and an avin is a thick piece of bread. There already you can begin to say, look, you know, maybe there's an idea that's called the way something looks. And indeed, as we know, the Sfarim, for instance, won't make a brocha on a matzah, a motzi lechem in aretz all year round, because that's not the tzura of pat. That's limudim. It's not avin. If it's the thing that you're eating during Pesach, and it's the kviyut of pot during Pesach, you'll make hamotzi on it. But normally, this isn't considered to be pot. So here we may be introducing, according to the other shitas, a whole new idea of tzura literally in terms of what the thing looks like, in terms of what's socially mikubal to be called bread. And if this is not what's mikubal to be called bread, it's called crackers, and nobody would call it bread, then you don't make hamotzi on it. Even though, in terms of its original dough, it may be the same thing. That's an extreme. Omalei Abayel Rav Yosef. I kuba de ara. As our president raised the issue, this kuba de ara, my mevorchim aleha. We've spoken about, over here, the questions of how things are prepared, legabi the halacha of challah and so on. The shaila is, what brocha is that? Do we make on things that are baked in this fashion? Oh, Malay, what are you asking? Misavet Nahamu, what do you think that's called bread? Gubla Nahamu! All that is a batter. And as we said, the Kuva Diara, it's a light batter, which is poured over the stove top. And that is Gubla. And therefore, Mevorchen al Aborei Menei Mizonot, it would never have a din of Nahama. It's only Aborei Menei Mizonot. Here's a big machlokus, whether you would even and be able to be Koveya Sa'uda on something that Bechlal loses its shame of pot and his guvla. But Marzutra Kova Sa'uda, say hallelujah. Marzutra would eat these things for his Sa'uda. And because he was Koveya the Sa'uda on it, he would actually make Hamotzi and he would save it Katamazon. Furthermore, Amar Baravashi, Vadam Yatsevimide Kovatobe Pesach. My time of Lechem only Karina Zay. Since it's almost Rosh Chodesh Nisan here, we have time to talk about Pesach. So you could even have your matzahs like this, which would be much lighter even than what we would normally call the pitot that are used for matzahs, because this is a type of lechem, although it's lechemoni. Certainly not, it's not the type of lechem that's baked by someone who can afford normal bread in an oven for which he has energy to heat the oven. Over here, obviously, you're using this, somebody who doesn't have energy is going to use the immediate heat of his stovetop to cook in this fashion. So that's called lechemoni. Yomar ma baravashi, hai dufsha de tamrin, mevorkinin shah. My taima, zeya bi'almahu. And furthermore, says Ravash, speaking about the way in which we prepare things, which is not the normal way of eating them, if you take timarim and you use your timarim to make dvash, actually sell this stuff. They didn't just sell it. You have to make it yourself. In any event, the bracha on such a thing is a birkas shahakol, not a bracha of the pri. It would be no borei pri. It's my taima. Zeya bi'almahu. Now, the Gemara is going to make some interesting. I mean, it seems that we've suddenly switched gears, but the Gemara is going to be making some interesting comparisons between a bread, which is not the way we would normally prepare the bread, and a fruit, which is going to be consumed in a way not the way we would normally consume a fruit. So here you've taken a date, and you've reduced the date to a liquid, to a dvash. In such a case, you would say, shakol, my diamond, zeya be'almu. We don't view this as the tzura of the fruit. We view it as nothing but like a condensate, so to speak. It's just wetness, that it's not fruit. Now, over here, clearly, it has the contents of the fruit in it. Nonetheless, we're calling it Zeya Biyama. Kamanki Aitanat. It's not Dvash Timarim, V'yein Tapuchim, V'chometz Sufaniot. Sufaniot are the dates, as the word implies. The grapes that come up at the very, very end of the season. And they are never going to be fully ripened, because it's too, by the time they get out, it's already over the season. V'shar Mei Peirot Shel Truma. And any other type of truma, which is just mei peirot, it's just the water contents of a tree. Rabbi Eliezer is mechayev zar who eats such a thing. Both keren v'chomesh, because it's considered to be not only that he stole from the kohen, but he also ate truma and has a din of truma. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua poter, and Rabbi Yoshua says, no, that's not considered to be truma, because now it's just zeya. Omalei ahumi rabbanan l'rov. a certain one of the Talmidim asks Rava, what's the din of Trima? Now Trima, there's again an important machlokas, unfortunately, Ketzet Mevarchim, because it's so Nogela Alocha, has so many shitas on each Likuda that it's a little bit confusing. Rashi learns that Trima means lightly crushed, but clearly still noticeable. You take an apple and you make a thick crushed sauce out of it, or a jelly out of it, but you could still see pieces of apple in it. Yes, it's chunky, exactly. So it's a little bit, it's not merusak, says Rashi specifically. In other words, it's not crushed. It's chopped up. So the chopped up trima, he didn't explain trima of what. And Rav actually didn't understand him and was a little bit embarrassed in not understanding him. Lo aviyadayta de Rav, Rav couldn't really figure out what he was talking about. So lo aviyadayta de Rav, my karmali. And Ravina wanted to relieve Rav's confusion. Ravina was sitting in front of him. So he asked the guy a number of questions which would lead Rav to recognize what trima was. And so he asked him, Yosavina, come to Rav. So he says to the guy, when you say trima, what type of trima are you talking about? Are you talking about sumsumani? You're talking about maybe somebody's making trina and who's crushing up sesame? Or were you talking about the kurtani? Maybe you were talking about karkom, which is used to flavor wine. Or perhaps you were talking about deportsani. Maybe you were talking about the grapes. You're gonna cut them up in order to pour water on them to make what's known as tened, which was the water that absorbs taste of the grape. I think a lot of the badatz wines were made from this kind of stuff. No, seriously, they would buy the leftovers of the grapes. They said, put water on it, let it absorb the taste of the grape, and market it as wine. Yeah. So this is basically it has a din of under certain circumstances you're able to say Bori Pirei Gefen on it. So what's you laughing about? According to Ravadia Seif, you can't say Bori Pirei Gefen on it. But anyway, what are you talking about? And meanwhile, Rava figured out what it was that the guy meant. I guess it was clear from the context of Ravina's questions to him. So the Achavache Aske Rava Latayte. Rava caught on to what was going on. Omar Lay. So he said to the guy, "Oh, I understand what you're asking. You're basically asking about Chashilta. Chashilta means things that are crushed. So Chashilta Vareka Amit. That's what you're talking about. Now that, you just reminded me about something I learned about Chashilta. Adkiratan Milta. You reminded me. Ravasi had said that if you have dates of truma, you can turn them into trima, but you can't turn them into beer. Because you're not allowed to change the usage of truma from a solid into a liquid, in other words, from its normal usage, and to make use of the thing for a different kind of usage, such as drinking. This is how the Rambam puts it, at least in the Yad, in the Pirshei Mishnayos. He looks at it in a completely different way, as some do, that the question over here is whether the reduction of truma to something which is Sheikh Rabiyam is actually an ibud. It's like a destroying the truma.
Because you can turn grapes into wine,
no? Yeah, but that's called Mal-Yusa anyway, and that's the fundamental use of the we spoke about that oil and wine is unique in that sense. The Hilchata, the halacha is that Tamreva Vidnu Trima Mevorchina Vayu Borei Priyait. My time of the Miltayu Kaima Kamini Kara. Because since if you take Tvarim and you're only turning them into Trima, they're just what they always were, really. They're just crushed a little, not crushed, chopped a little, Raj. Just specifically not crushed. Again, this is a mouth focus. There are those who hold that Trima is putting it through a blender or a food processor, would still be called Trima. So according to Rashi, it's Bori Priya, it's because it's chunky. See, the shatita now is something which is, it's a borderline food drink, and it depends how it's prepared, as we'll see. So normally we view it as a foodstuff. It's made from a type of flour that itself is not made of normal grains, but of parched grains. So you put the grain through some device that heats it, then you grind it up into a flour, which gives it a completely different taste, and then you basically, you mix it with oils and other kind of things like that. We'll see that this was used in certain ways, depending how it was prepared, for a refuah. It was a medicine type of drink.
The puff grains of the...
Puff is it has to be heated suddenly and so on, but it's a parched grain. So you would say, I mean, it's shot from guns. Rava marshako niyebid varo, vishmo omer vore minim izonot, omrat kistavala plige, haba ava, haba raka. Actually, there's really two different types of shatita, because the ava, if it's made thickly. So then it's being made le'achila, and that indeed is a regular mizonot. But if it's made rakah, then it's really a drink, And that's made the refuah. And over there, it doesn't have the chashivas of the borei minei mizonot because, now here, because what? So similar, because the very fact that something's made l'refuah is a griuta. It means it's not really the way that something is eaten just for food, but rather the refuah itself makes it less than it would normally be. Or others learn, because they drink at this point. It's not really food. So in making it a drink, you've essentially turned it into Coca-Cola galore. And you still make a shakal on it. Nosiv Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, all of the, although we have a machlokas tanoim about other issues, the Gabi preparing on Shabbos for refuah, everybody is moda, shebochashim et ashatut, that you're allowed to now mix up yourself a shatita on Shabbos, and you can drink zeituma mitzri, which lamaisa is useful in terms of health, but it can't be that that's its primary use, because isak daifel refuah kamechavein, refuah b'shabbat b'shari, are you allowed to take now a refuah on Shabbos? I'm like, why not? V'at lo tisba, but you think that anything that's useful for refuah, you can't take on Shabbos. But z'nan kolo ochlim ochel adam refuah b'shabbat. As long as it satisfies the requirements of being a foodstuff, you can eat it on Shabbos, even though it's for refuah. V'kola machkin shoteh, what are you going to say? Why is that mutter? You're going to say to yourself, isn't there a gezer of shrikat sabamanim? So how am I doing this? So clearly you're going to have to answer to yourself that the difference is, the point is that this person sets out to eat. Or another way of putting it, lishna achrina. The act that you're doing is an act of eating. The refuah comes out of the act of eating. Okay, so if that's the case for the shatita. Again, the mashma'ut of the sukkah is that the person actually has to be mechavein for achila, not for refuah. The truth is we don't really paskin like that, because the Rajba and many of the other Rishonim understand the Gemara to be saying not that his intent really is l'achila. He'd never eat this stuff if he wouldn't want to get a refuah. But the way in which he has set it up is as if he is going out to eat.
The oil
like we had before. Exactly. The tzricha, now the truth is that we still need to know, even though we said over here that you're allowed to do this on Shabbos and so on, we still need to know the din of the bracha on this thing, you see. Because dini hai, let's say you'd say, look, it says over here that it's l'achila kamechavet. Okay, so over here l'achila kamechavet refuah memela kahavet. But how about a guy who is clearly taking shatita for a refuah? So over there where he's l'chatchila refuah kamechavet, maybe there's no bracha on a refuah. In other words, the thing that I'm taking, even though it's nourishing, maybe the fact that I have no intention of taking pleasure out of this, my only intent is for refuah, maybe I'm not mevarech. Kamash malan. Therefore comes along the din of Rav, that kimad idle hana aminei boi baruche. You're going to need to make a bracha because of the fact that lamaisa, you're getting hanah from it. Sh'alapatu, the next thing the Mishnah says is alapatu amer amotzi
b'chem in artis. If you're drinking lemon tea on Shabbos, you have the flu, that would be...
That's fine.
That's
fine. I mean, that doesn't even get into this idea. Because that's bad sort of food stuff. People drink that all the time. It happens to be that it's useful for clearing your nose, whatever. But this is something that lamaisa, perhaps, it's the type of thing you'd avoid like the plague. I mean, but you can't say everybody is going to avoid lemon tea like the plague. You know? But anyway, even if it would be something that's miyuchlin, you know, chamomile. It's also okay. That may be more like it. Sha'alapatu omer hamotzi lechem in aretz. And the Mishnah seems to take for granted that the bracha on bread is hamotzi lechem in aretz. This wasn't always so clear. And Tana Rabbanan in the Braita, we find that there's actually a machloket what the bracha is on bread. Mahu omer, what do you say on lechem? Hamotzi lechem in aretz. Tanakama holds, the way we're mevarech, hamotzi lechem in aretz. Rabbi Nechem Yomer, no, you say motzi lechem min haaretz, not hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Says Rava, the truth is that everybody is moda, that the word motzi lechem min haaretz would mean something that has taken place already in the past, which is what we want, say, about the brach. You have taken out bread from the earth. Where do we see that? It says, El motziam mimitzrayim. El motziam mimitzrayim is a reference to the Yetziat Mitzrayim that's being made now, years later here, by Bilam. The question is, would you be yotzi with the word hamotzi? So in other words, the Rabbanan would also be motivated that motzi is certainly a good bracha, but is hamotzi a good bracha? So the Rabbanan hold hamotzi also means this, the afik mashma, also means something that took place in the past, took out. We see, for instance, hamotzi lecha mayim mitzura chalamish. Hamotzi means he who took out water from Tzura Chalamish. Whereas Rabbi Nechemia Sovar, that no, hamotzi is mashma, the mafik It's the word hamotzi is like hamotziyachem mitachat zivlot mitzrayim, and that hamotziyachem mitachat zivlot mitzrayim is talking about in the case where they were sitting there in Mitzrayim, and now Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, listen, you should know that you're going to have to put this these words on your tefillin and bechor and do a pidyon and so on, and that's because you're supposed to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking you out of Mitzrayim, and he's going to be doing this, not that he did it already, because there's still sitting in Mitzrayim at the time that they hear this pasuk. So how could he be referring to God who took you out of Mitzrayim? He's going to be completing this taking you out tomorrow, whenever. So that, how can you say hamotzi lechem in haaretz, which would mean it hasn't even happened yet? The brook is al shem, the bread now that you have in front of you. So it would have to be saying motzi lechem, Rabbanan. How did Rabbanan explain that? They say, no, that this is basically being said as if you're standing in the future. In other words, Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael, when you get out of Mitzrayim, be part of your bechoros, wear your tefillin. Why? To remember then God who at that point, looking back, hamotzi etchem, who did take you out, that hasn't happened yet. I'm trying to put you into the mode of where you will be 1,000 years from now. So you'll be doing these things to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was both you and Mitzrayim. So if you come and look at Shubrik Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, Yisrael, Kad mafik nalachu, after I take you out of Mitzrayim, Avid nalachu milka, do all types of rituals, ki eichet diyadiitu, so that it should always be something that you're aware of, the ana hu deafikit yatchom mi Mitzrayim, that it was I who took you out of Mitzrayim, tehtibi yedatem, ki ani Hashem alokechem, hamotzi etchem. In other words, you should know at that point that it is I who took you out of Mitzrayim. I'm not telling you now to do something later, so that now you should be aware that I will be the one who's taking you out of Mitzrayim. That's not the meaning of the pasuk. Now, the Rabbana told Rabbi Zera, you should know that there's somebody we met, really, really good guy. I mean, it's the type of kid you'd want to have in your yeshiva. And they were Mishabeach Bar Rav Zvid. Now, there's those who say that Bar Rav Zvid's name was It, which is a great name to give a kid, you know. You are the Tosefet, you know. So it should say Et Bar Rav Zvid, according to that Yosef. Huh? So they said he's really a tremendous guy. He's the brother of Rav Shimon Bar Rav Zvid, and he has an Adam Gadalhu, and he's got tremendous expertise in brachot. So he said, oh yeah? Get hold of him, bring him to me. Of course, we know what that means. Whenever they say that, this guy's got to be put through the ringer. So anyway, Zimna Chada Ikla Legabe. So one time he came around to Rabbi Zera's area. And so they brought him to Rabbi Zera. Afikulei Rifta. So he's sitting there rubbing his hands with glee. Brings him now some bread. Patak V'yomar Motzi Lechem in Aretz. I got him already. Zera Shomrim Alav Adam Gadolu Ubakib Brachot. This you call a guy who's an expert in brachos. I mean, look. If he would have said Hamotzi, he would have been teaching us all kinds of things. Ashmuina Taima, first of all, he would have explained the meaning of the Purish of the Pasuk, Hamotzi etchem mitachat zivlot Mitzrayim. That's an important thing to teach. If you're able to use your words in an effective manner, then do so. Furthermore, he would also be Ashmuina de Hilchata Karabanan, that we want to use the word hamotzi instead of motzi, even though everybody agrees that motzi is clearer. Huh? What the reason is, by the way, we'll have to think about. But doing this, yama motzi, any idiot could say motzi. It doesn't prove anything, because we said that for sure is just keeping your head out of the dirt here. You're not opening yourself up to attack the cloud. My kabashman! And indeed, why did Ed do that? Lafukin Hashemi Pluto. He had no intent of putting himself on the line over here for a machlokas. In fact, we pasken hamotzi, so that we're going to pasken like Rabbanan, who say that the word hamotzi is mashmah who did take out in the past. Now, even though the Maisa Tosis points out, but everybody is motzi, that motzi is good, so what do we have to make things worse by saying hamotzi when we have an easy, clear-cut explanation of motzi? Tosis brings a very interesting Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says the reason is because otherwise you'll get mixed up between the word olam and motzi. But we will not be mitaken a bracha in which your words will lead to slurring. Because what are you going to say? Baruch atah Hashem, lekinu melech haolam motzi. One of the men just disappeared. We know how people make prophets. Nobody's going to make that prophet properly.
Then he also has lechem min.
Oh, very good. And what about lechem min? That's the Tosus ask that. The Tosus says there, we have no choice, because we're quoting the pasuk. As it says, lo hotzi lechem min haaretz, right? So that pasuk in Barkin Avshi. So let's see, lechem in Arutz. It's not going to change the pasuk as we found written in the Torah. Okay, so we'll use lechem in Arutz, but to be metakein, to say that the haolam motzi, that we don't want to do. That's very cute.
If someone
said no to the accident, others learn that, on the contrary, I mean, maybe the point is gufa, to be metakein a bracha, that teaches us what hamotzi means. So we want people to say hamotzi. That would be very similar to this Gemara. In other words, if we're tiny, Rabbi Zera is saying that somebody who's a baki for brachos ought to use hamotzi, and that itself is enough of a reason, even though we haven't paskin at that point, a hilchatak rabbanan. But there's an issue to show something. In other words, because a bracha, if you think about it in the broadest sense, because a bracha is meant to be a mode of human articulation about the nature of reality, that's the point of bracha. So in doing so, like it says in the opening of Bereshit, right? Adam ayin la'avodat adamah is the reason that things are not functioning. That la'avodat adamah, as Rashi says, means articulation of avodat adamah. So the articulation, the extent of the chiddush in the articulation, is fundamental to articulation. I mean, to be able to say gu gu gug, it's not exactly what we do in brachot. That's exactly what Rabbi Zera was timing. If you have a chance to articulate clearly, don't take an easy way out and say motzi. Teach me something. Tell me something. I want to understand what a word means. So that part of bracha is that a word should mean what it means. So tell me what a word means when you say the bracha. That's good for why we were koveh after this session. Continues the Gemara. Valayir al-Kot. And the next thing in the Mishnah, it said, and here we get to the interesting comparison, at last, openly, before we did it sort of, implicit in the assumptions that are assumed. But here, we're going to openly compare the din of Yerakot, which we say borei pri hadama, to the leka, in which we say motzi lechem haaretz. And therefore, says the Gemara, katani Yerakot devid apat. If you put together in the Mishnah in this fashion, bread and vegetable. So now, doesn't that mean that just like pot?
Just like pot.
Now we're talking. Just like pot, the halacha is, we base the bracha on something which has been processed, correct? I mean, that's the first thing that strikes you. I think it strikes every child even. What do you mean, hamotzi lechem in aretz? Lechem doesn't come out of the aretz. So we're talking about using a bracha to refer to the original status of something which has been changed now and processed. Now, if that's the way we're setting up the Mishnah, then the mashmaut is that these are brachot. Doesn't change the bracha, the fact that it has now been processed. Then the same thing ought to be true about Yerakot. So if Yerakot have been processed, let's say now, I'm going to put Yerakot into a pot and cook them up. The mashmaut is that I would make a bracha on Yerakot and still say, borei pri hadama, despite the fact that they have been boiled. Now, Tosfos points out that in terms of the way we've been looking at the sugya, this is a rather strange assumption. All along we've been saying that pot as a bracha miyuchedet, because it was ishtini lamal yuta. Obviously, if I take something and do something to it which is not mishanet l'mal yuta, so then why would you assume that because pot, this is the best thing you could do with wheat. You're going to tell me that this is the best thing that you could do with tomatoes? Is to make tomato sauce out of them? Or to make boiled tomatoes and take out all their taste?
But there are some vegetables that would be the case.
Fine. But once you're telling me that, it has nothing to do with the comparison to pot. Don't answer me, there's some vegetables.
We're talking about a different
broccoli. Therefore, that's the whole point, isn't it?
But
isn't that the whole point? Okay, the different broccoli because of the l'mal yuta. So by the same token, maybe you don't make a bracha at all for his mishtar. The Torah explains that is precisely the point. We're not coming to tell you here that every vegetable is the same as pot. But what we're saying is the fact of processing doesn't change the nature of bracha. Now you can make up your mind whether you've ruined something in processing it in this way and therefore it's no longer the food. That's something else. But in terms of the principle, processing is not a problem to a bracha. Just as that's clear by pot, that has to be clear by vegetables. Now decide which processing is suitable to say a bracha on. So therefore, just like Yerakot, just like pot was nishtadalya de'aur, we used heat to affect physical changes in the bread, so too we can use heat to affect changes in Yerakot. Omar Abdai Mishmei De'Abaya, that seems to imply that Zotomer Shalakot Bevorchin Aleyem Borei Pri Ha'adama. So now if you've got stewed vegetables, you should be saying a Borei Pri Ha'adama on those stewed vegetables. Dorash Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu in this case being Rav, that Shalakot Bevorchin Aleyem Borei Pri Ha'adama, V'Rabotenu Hayordim Eretz Yisrael, and who was that? That was Ula, quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying that Shalakot Bevorchin Aleyem Shakon Yebid Varo, and continued Rav Chista to say, now that I've told you what everybody has to say on the matter, I'll tell you what I have to say on the matter. V'ani omer, kol shetchilato borei pri adama, shel kol shakol mi'abid varo. The way I see it is that actually it depends, because yes, it's true that the processing per se is not a problem, but on the other hand, if the primary way of eating this particular vegetable would be through its being raw, and that's when I would say a borei pri adama on it, then if I'm sholeik it, I now have reduced it, I'm eating it in a way in which this is not the normal, the primary way of eating it, therefore it becomes shakol nia bidvaro. Mashenken, if it's something which normally I wouldn't eat, and if I eat it in that unusual fashion without cooking it, I would make a shahakol, then when it comes to the shaluk, I'm preparing it in its most fundamental way, and there I would make a borei pri adama, for instance. I mean, I understand, bishlema kol shetchilato shakol nia bidvaro, shoko is borei pri adama. I mean, I got plenty of examples of that, where there are things that I would never eat. Like, I wouldn't eat karba, salka, kara, I wouldn't eat a beet raw, I wouldn't eat a, I mean, I wouldn't, but it's certainly not the primary way of eating it. I wouldn't eat pumpkin raw, kruv uncooked. But kol shetchilato borei pri adama, when I cook it, now I make a shakol. You're talking about something that is ruined in the cooking, it takes away taste. What type of thing is done that way that I make a shlokos of vetzachidish? You take garlic, tumi, and karti. You boil up garlic, you boil up leek. Now, that no longer tastes anywhere near as good. So sure, it does taste better. What do you mean? That's great. I mean, so Tosa says, well, of course it does, but that's because you're not just cooking it up in water. You're cooking it up in a stew. I mean, there's other things in there. So together with the other things, indeed, it does taste better. But when we're talking about the thing which is now going to taste better on its own, because it's the way in which it's prepared, you can't say that the preparation of the garlic in now a meat stew gives you delicious tasting garlic, so therefore it's a better garlic. It's a better stew, but it's not a better garlic. And therefore, you would be eating it as part of the meat stew, so it would be a shakol. Dorish of Nachum Yishub Rabbeinu, and in this case, who's Rabbeinu? Boy, we got to really clarify this. This time it's Shmuel. So, Shalakot Nebarkin Aleim, Borei Pri Adama, Vichaveirenu, and here Nachum Yitzchak gave the same drasha, Vichaveirenu Hayordim Eretz Yisrael, we're referring to who? Referring to Ula, who to him was a chover, rather than Rabotenu Hayordim Eretz Yisrael, to Rav Chisda, to whom Ula was a Rav, they quote Rav Yochanan as saying, Shalakot Nebarkin Aleim Shakol Nehebid Varo, and I gotta tell you, my own opinion is, it's a machlokas. That's the easy way out of this place today. It's a machlokas. And it's an old machlokas. It's actually a machlokas which is brought in the bride. The machlokas. The Tanya, the Shaila is over here.
I saw the Kula in the plural. Habarenu, the number of Habarenu.
Yeah. Why is he called Rabotenu?
Why is
it? Because he represents the Deot over here. That we do when somebody is the. The Gemara in Sanhedrin goes through. Acherim is Rabbi Meir. In other words, when somebody represents that they have an entire way of looking at something, he's given the name of an entire cut, so to speak, a group, rather than himself. Because if you take a look again, getting back to matzah, would you be yotze if you take a matzah and you put it into water? Yotzin berakik hasharui, and even if it was mevushal, but it wasn't yet nimoach, it didn't actually melt away in the water, you'd still be yotzei matzah, and that would still be called lechem oni. And the Rav Yossi says only a rakik hasharui, but not mevushal, even though it really is still shaped like the matzah. And therefore, what do I see from there? I see, and again we have this strange comparison to lechem. I see that mevushal, according to Rav Yossi, takes away the shame of the original product. So if it takes away the shame of the product called bread, it would take away the shame of the product called tomato. And now you would make a shahakol on it. So that, l'chora, is the two shitot that we see over here between the Rabotenu Sheberetz Yisrael and the way in which we quoted the either Shmuel or Rav, depending on the case here. V'loli, that is not true. There's no comparison between these two shitas. The truth is that everybody here in that braita, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, could be moda that when it comes to shlokot, it comes to stewed vegetables. Mevorchina aleihem borei pri adama. The only issue, pardon me, but when it comes to matzah, you've really, really messed up. Because when it comes to matzah, you've introduced an element that usually wouldn't appear in a discussion of brachot. And that's because the Torah is makbid on the issue of lechem oni, which includes the taste of matzah. Because you're supposed to be experiencing something, not just eating something, not just consuming something. And therefore, by matzah, matzah, we have a new issue, which is called ta'am of matzah. So it's mishum to be inan ta'am matzah. If you're going to be eating a matzah that has been put here into boiling water, then you're not going to be tasting the ta'am matzah. But when it comes, because that's the meaning of lechem oni. That's what it means. You're supposed to, right. That's why it's lechem sho'onim alav. I want you to experience the lechem of oni. So if that's the case, I mean, what are you eating a knedel? That's lechem oni? I mean, the question of whether it's hamotzi is one thing, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about yotzi, yurchiyav of matzah's mitzvah. It's very possible that Rabbi Yossi is moda, that when it comes to issues of bracha, so enochinami would be moda, that shlokos maybe doesn't change anything. Om rechiyah barav om Rabbi Yochanan, shlokot mevarchin aleim borei pri adamah. So he quotes Rabbi Yochanan, and again, both Rabotenu or Chavirenu that came from Eretz Israel were quoting Rabbi Yochanan. He was Rav and Shmuel. Here we have, that was Ula. Here we have Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba quoting Rabbi Yochanan, that Shlokot are Abori Pri Adonah, and Rabbi Yonan Bar Yefet quoting Rabbi Yochanan, that Shlokot are in fact Shakol Niyebid Varo, as the Chavirenu Hayodim Eretz Israel said. So here we have now a new quote of Rabbi Yochanan, in which he is contradicting those who were quoting Rabbi Yochanan before, Ula, and contradicting as well the quote from Rabbi Yomar Bar Yefet, and he was claiming that it's a Bari Pri Adama. Om Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, you know, let me tell you something. You know where Ula came off quoting Rabbi Yochanan and saying that Rabbi Yochanan had actually said that it was a shahako? Kova Ula l'shavishtek Rabbi Yom Bar Yefet. What happened is that he made the mistake of listening to Rabbi Yom Bar Yefet in the first place, taking that as a given that Rabbi Yochanan had really said that, when he never had, and therefore he was quoting Rabbi Yochanan because he had once heard it from Rabbi Binyamin. He got so stuck in that that he quotes it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as if it was really Rabbi Yochanan. And I tell you, now we see where it came from, because Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet never knows what he's talking about, and that's how it got mixed up. And we shouldn't even be quoting him. My name, Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet, that's Rabbi Bar Abba. Who in his right mind would get confused? When you've got over here Reb Chiya, you're going to have Reb Chiya Bar Abba telling you something, and you listen to Reb Yonah Bar Yefet, I know what's wrong with you. First of all, Reb Chiya Bar Abba is very medayek. He's dayek v'gomer shmaitz mi Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. He used to sit there and listen carefully to the exact language that Rabbi Yochanan would say. Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet lo dayek. Everybody knows Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefet would come out into the Beis HaMedrash, say something over, and would be confused as to the exact words of Rabbi Yochanan. Furthermore, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, every 30 days, he would go back in front of Rabbi Yochanan and say over the conclusion of every sugya to make certain that he had gotten it right so that Rabbi Yochanan could correct him. So, quote Masin Yom Mahadir Tamuli Kameh to Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. Did Rabbi Yomim Bar Yefet ever do that? Rabbi Yomim Bar Yefet lo Mahadir. Furthermore, forget about that. Barmendein. You can forget about that and forget about this. I'll tell you, Halakha Lamaisa, Ahut Turmusa, the Shakar Sheva Zimna Bikadera. There was a whole turmus, stew, and turmus requires an awful lot of stewing. Seven times they stewed it up, and the Akhilevi Kinuach Su'udah, they were eating it for dessert, and they were flavored and delicious. They came and asked Rabbi Yochanan, what do you say on this bracha over here? And he said, Borei Pri Ha'adama. Now you're going to quote Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet claiming that he said that you make a shahakal and a shalki. There never was a shalki like this shalki, let me tell you. And he still said a Borei Pri Ha'adama. So I don't care how you look at it, I know what happened to poor Ula. He listened to Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet. That messed him up.
Isn't that the only way to eat that?
That's a problem. This is turmus. Turmus is inedible unless you chew it up like this. And then, the Od Amr Pri Ha'adama. Furthermore, Rabbi Bar Abba quotes how lawful a mice of what Rabbi Yochanan did. Anira iti Rabbi Yochanan. Shachal zayit maliach. So he ate a salted olive, which is salting is the equivalent of shalki, boiling. And borek halat chila v'sof. So he made on it a borek pri adam, and he said Allah eats shal pri aitz. So yeah, Rabbi Shlomo Shlakot b'mil tayu kaina. If you're going to admit that processing through shlakot leaves something, you were talking about vegetables, but there's no fundamental difference between a vegetable or fruit. So if you're going to tell me that processing leaves something in its original state, that explains why b'tchilah mevarek alav borek pri aitz, ula b'sof mevarek alav bracha achat mi'in shalosh. But if you're going to tell me that shlakot could represent a change, shlakot lav b'mil tayu kaina. Look, I mean, you could say he was mevarek alav tchilah b'sof, mevarek alav tchilah could be a shakol. Fine, doesn't say what he said. Maybe he said a shakol niyebid v'ro. But l'b'sof? I mean, what is there to say? Now, remember that at the time of the Gemara, there was certainly a period, we saw this before, some learned that to mean a below klum. Now, the below klum is literally below klum, that they weren't Gemaras, the Borin of Parshas, except on things like Basar and so on, but just on things which lacked Hashivas, like water or like a soup, that had now no longer been Yiltayu. So the assumption was that there would be nothing to be Mavarech, because it hadn't been Mitaken yet, Borin of Parshas across the board. So what would it mean when you said Tchila V'Sof? Isn't the word Tchila V'Sof by definition that he had to say a al ha'etz at the end? So what would he be mevarek? Says the Gemara, well, maybe he held that you could say bereinu fashot v'chesunan al kol mashibarna after it. Maybe that's all that it means.
Isn't an olive also? You have to do something.
Yes, of course. But remember, that was only one opinion. That was Rufkista. Rufkista said, and I'll tell you that it depends. He interjected that idea. So far, we didn't see in Rabbi Yochanan a concept of it depends. The question was whether the processing before is going to change something, whether or not it's the only way you can eat it. So if it's changed, l'mal yusas, we'll convey a special broth on it. Now, this is a completely different way of looking at this, because what you could say is, had we not been convey a special broth of mizonot or mlotzi lechem in haaretz for chita, we wouldn't have been able to be borif on it. Let's say that we only had a borif priya adam on chita. By the way, that's a machloket, you should know. Some say that, you know, that it's a shahako, and that it's only if you boil the chita. That was the question. Rashi said the chita, okay, I don't want to. Oh, but we once it came up, I realized we forgot to mention it. It was a chita, Rashi says, from the old day, the way it's raw, but not everybody's minded for that. But let's say that we would have a bracha, simple bracha, borif priya adam. So now I could say, if you boiled it, then you wouldn't, or bake it into bread, you wouldn't make any bracha at all. Elamai, you're kovei a new bracha. Okay? If the Mishnah had told me that, habavarech alapat borei priya adam ayatze. So then I could say, then if that's the case, if you take vegetables and you boil them, you could say borei priya adam. But if you're bringing me a raya that you make a new bracha, a mochi lechem in haaretz, and that the processing, you can bring a raya from there that the processing doesn't change, maybe adarava. Processing takes off the Adama. And now we could be kovea a bracha on something which is processed. You could have looked at the Mishnah exactly the opposite way. Right? So it's the only thing we're kovea from the Mishnah is that the fact of processing doesn't make a bracha impossible. That's all that you prove. Otherwise, the whole comparison is nonsensical. Okay, but now to be kovea necessarily that this is the bracha. Who knows? We should make a shanko.
The last vaod is found. Mm-hmm. The last vaod is rejected as a raya.
Yeah, because it might. Yeah, you can't really prove it, assuming that there's a lot of questions. Okay, gentlemen, I said we were going to talk a little bit about the, if you want to take the time, those of you who can't take the time, please feel free to go.